Radio Maria now presents The Will of God with Father Robert Young, a program in which Father Robert takes a look at the writings of Luisa Picaretta. And now, here's Father Robert Young with The Will of God.
And good morning, dear friends, and welcome to our program once again on this beautiful day. We are live, coming to you live today on this memorial of the Queenship of Mary, beautiful feast in the church we'll talk about in a little bit. First of all, let us pray, and I'd like to share with you a bit of the prayer from Pope Pius XII, who gave us this prayer when he declared Mary Queen of the Universe in 1954. It's very interesting that this memorial comes 4 years after the Declaration of the Dogma of the Assumption, which was on August 15th, 1950, by the same Pope Pius XII. So 4 years later, he proclaims Mary as Queen of the Universe. And this is part of the prayer. It was a long prayer that he added to the document. But this is part of the prayer that that he gave us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Mary, Queen of the Universe, reign over our minds, that we may seek only what is true. Reign over our wills, that we may follow only what is good. Reign over our hearts, that we may love nothing but what you yourself love. So, Heavenly Mother Mary, on this memorial of your queenship, this day when we recognize your part, your membership in the kingdom of God, and your role as queen in the kingdom of the divine will, we give thanks to God for the declaration of this dogma. We give thanks to God for all the ways, dear Mother Mary, you reign over our lives and help us in so many ways by calling us and forming us and preparing us to live as children, as your children, as children of God in the kingdom of his divine will. Help us to do it more and more faithfully. Teach us what it means to live always in the reign of God's will and allowing it to reign in us. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this vale of tears. Turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy towards us, and after this, our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, Queen of Heaven and Earth, Queen of Angels and Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, welcome once again as we continue our study of Volume 17 of Luisa Picaretta's diary. It's actually known probably most commonly as her diary. But later on, Jesus gave her the title for this diary, The Book of Heaven. And so we will pick up now with the date of June 25th, 1925. Jesus covers Luisa and hides her in his adorable person. How crosses open the doors to new manifestations, and how the human will must lose its field of action. Luisa writes, as I was in my usual state, my adorable Jesus, all love and tenderness, came to my poor soul. First, he placed himself near me and stared at me as if he wanted to tell me many things. But first he wanted to enlarge my intellect, because it was incapable of receiving and comprehending all that he wanted to say to me. Then he laid himself upon all of myself and hid me inside of him, my face in his, my hands and my feet in his. It seemed to me that he was all attentive on covering me and hiding me within himself, so that nothing of myself would ever appear again. Oh, how happy I felt, all hidden and covered in Jesus and by Jesus. I could see nothing but Jesus. Everything else had disappeared from me. The joys, the happiness of his adorable presence had all returned, as if by magic, to live again in my poor heart. Pain had been banished from me, nor did I remember his privation any longer, which had cost me mortal pains. Oh, how easy it is to forget everything while being with Jesus. Now, after he kept me all covered and hidden in him for some time, to the point that I thought he would never leave me again, I heard him call the angels and saints to come and see what Jesus was doing with me and the way he kept me covered inside his adorable person. So this experience of Louise, of course, again, it's a mystical experience that she's experiencing in her own soul with the eyes of her soul. Does it mean it's not real? Perhaps it's more real than anything else. But at the same time, it is not something that happens so much physically as spiritually, interiorly, inside of her. And she has, as she often does, this experience of being completely covered in the humanity, by the humanity of Jesus, immersed in it, and of course, by the power of God's will, she shares everything that Jesus shares. As Catechism 521 says, Christ enables us to live all that he lived, and he lives it in us. Well, that's what he's showing her through this mystical experience and showing us that we don't see it, perhaps the way Louisa would, but we have her experience to help us understand what this living in the divine will is all about and what the true union with Christ is. You see, it's really an immersion in him. We can't use the word absorption, but if we could, it would be like being taken up completely into Jesus, and Jesus now taking over us. It says he covers her in such a way that he fills her completely. You know, as St. Paul says, he fills the universe and all of its parts. Well, that's us too. So he fills us so completely. You know, this past week on August 19th, we celebrated great saint of the church, John Eudes of the 17th century. He died in 1680, the age of 79. A great saint who really fostered this devotion to the heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary. But it was not a devotion. It was really a way of life for him. So that the heart of Jesus, in his understanding, reigned totally, perfectly, completely in the heart of his mother Mary. And of course, that's why she could be queen, because he's the king, and the king reigns in her body and soul and heart so completely that it makes her the queen of his kingdom and of the whole universe. So his understanding is that just as the heart of Jesus reigned perfectly in Mary, it won't reign so perfectly in us because we do inherit original sin, but he wants it to reign as much as possible. And so this reigning of Jesus in us, I think, is what Louise is experiencing here in her own mystical life. So, and I'd like to read to you just a little, very short part of this treatise on the admirable heart of Jesus by St. John Eudes. And this is in our office of readings for his feast day. He says, all that belongs to Jesus is yours. Of course, that's St. Paul. His breath, heart, body, soul, and all his faculties. All of these you must use as if they belong to you, so that in serving him, you may give him praise, love, and glory. You belong to him as a member belongs to the head. This is why he earnestly desires you to serve and glorify the Father by using all of your faculties as if they were his. That's exactly what Louisa just experienced when she says, he covered me completely and hid me inside of himself. My face, my hands, my feet, everything about her was now hidden in Jesus, and Jesus was giving her himself. St. John says, John Eudes says, he belongs to you, but more than that, he longs to be in you, living and reigning in you, ruling in you as the head lives and rules in the body. He desires that whatever is in him may live and rule in you. his breath in your breath, his heart in your heart, all the faculties of his soul in the faculties of your soul. And of course, the primary faculty of our soul is the will, because that's the source of love, is the source of our freedom to choose to do God's will and to live in it or not. So the faculties of Jesus, we have his human will, memory, and intellect given to us in baptism. It's constantly being nourished by the Eucharist, where we receive his own soul. But let us never forget that in this human soul and in these human faculties of Jesus reigns and lives the divine will. In a sense, the divine faculties of God as well. God's divine intellect, his divine mind, his divine memory, his divine will. So that reigns perfectly in Jesus because he is divine by nature. And in that hypostatic union, the Holy Trinity is there present in his soul, perfectly with the will of God. So if Jesus' will and all of his faculties are in us, so is the divine will. So are all the divine faculties in us, and they can reign in us too if we want them to, if we allow them to. It's the beauty of the teaching of St. John Eudes, I believe, and of course it's exactly what Louise is experiencing herself. She goes on, "Afterwards he made me share in his pains, and I let him do everything. Even though I felt as though being crushed by these pains, yet I felt happy, and I experienced the joys which the divine will contains. When the soul abandons herself in it, even while suffering," that's the key, isn't it? That even when we suffer, we still can remain in the will of God. We can still be happy and even experience joy. You know, Mary, even as a sorrowful mother, always knew the joy of being the queen of the kingdom of God's will. It never left her. From the moment of her conception, she was born with the divine will reigning in her, and by a special dispensation of grace, she experienced redemption and sanctification out of time, that is, beforehand, before it would ever happen in time. So Louisa goes on, "Then he made me suffer again, and he said to me, 'My daughter, my will,'" after he made me suffer, Jesus said, "My will wants to give itself to you more and more. And in order to give itself more, it wants to make itself understood more." See, how can we have and love what we do not know? He wants us to know it. And here's going to be the great lesson. "My daughter, my will wants to give itself to you more and more. Therefore, it must be understood more and more. To render what it manifests to you more stable, safer, more valuable, it gives you new pains to dispose you even more to prepare in you the void in which to place its truths." How does he expand our intellect? How does our intellect grow in its capacity for the divine will? How is the place made available and emptied out? As he says, the void is prepared by suffering, by the cross. That's why Mary was also the mother of sorrows as well as queen of the universe. This is why we, in our coming to know this great gift and to study it and to learn it even more, will also be asked and invited and called to enter more into the suffering of that kingdom. Joining our blessed mothers. Louisa says when it started, Jesus wanted her to suffer with him, to bear his pain, his suffering. That's the way he won for us the graces for this knowledge, and the graces that each one of us needs and all of us need together to grow in our love and possession, our knowledge and love and possession of this great gift. So he says, it gives you new pains. Dear friends, take this to heart. Whatever new sufferings you experience in life, whatever they may be, and they come in infinite varieties of forms to suit each one of us as our own personal cross. He says, whenever these new pains come, they're given to you to dispose you more to prepare in you the void in which to place greater, more truths of the divine will. It wants the noble courtship of pain in order to be sure about the soul. It's a test. It's going to test us, this pain. To be sure about the soul and to be able to trust her, it is always pain, suffering, anguish, spiritual, mental, physical, all the same. It's all caught up in the same process. It is always this, the crosses that open the doors to new manifestations, to more secret lessons, to the greatest gifts which I want to place in you. See, what is the key? What's going to open the keys of the kingdom, these new doors? You see, as St. Teresa says, you know, these mansions, these rooms of the castle. Well, there are so many. They're infinite because the knowledge of God's will is infinite. But for each one of us, they're unique. They're specially prepared rooms that only you and I can walk through. Only you and I can come to know. Yes, in one sense, they're universal, but in another sense, they're very particular, very special for each one of us. And he's saying, whatever I allow in your life in terms of suffering, it is a key, if you will accept it, to turn in the door of a new room, to enter that new room of knowledge of my will. This is a lesson, of course, that none of us is particularly happy to learn, but at the same time, it is a very essential lesson. He says, in fact, if the soul bears my will, when it is suffering and sorrowful, with firmness, when it is suffering and sorrowful, that is not only physical pain, but inner suffering as well. Then he says, with firmness, if she bears this, she will become capable of receiving my will when it brings happiness and will acquire the intellect, that is the capacity to know, and the hearing. You know, as Jesus says, let those who have ears to hear, hear. We want to have those ears. Let those who have eyes to see, see. See. So this person will acquire the capacity to know, the ears to hear, the eyes to see, in order to understand new lessons of my will. It is a grace. The grace is won for us by the death, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, but he asks our cooperation with his life, death, and resurrection to keep winning those graces for the world, including ourselves. Pain will make her acquire the celestial language, heavenly language. It is a heavenly language. Jesus told Louisa that all of the words of the Book of Heaven are written on the walls of heaven. They are the language. This is the language of heaven in such a way that this soul will be able to repeat the lessons she has learned. Pain, sorrow, suffering, anguish, whatever it is that we're called to share in the sufferings of Jesus on his cross, will make us, allow us, enable us to acquire the heavenly language in such a way that we can not only learn the lessons, we will live the lessons. We will repeat these lessons in every act of our lives. And you see, our acts grow, in one sense, in proportion to our knowledge. Not only the capacity of our acts to do all that God wants to do through them, and that he did in Jesus and Mary so perfectly, not only that, but to do them more and more often, more frequently, to be more faithful and attentive in doing the acts as we come to more knowledge. Why? Because the knowledge increases the love. The love increases our desire to live it and to possess it. Possession means everything's got to come into it. As Louisa experienced, as we saw earlier in this passage, how Jesus just completely took her into himself and filled her with himself. On hearing this, I said to him, my Jesus, and my life. It seems to me that the complete sacrifice of the soul and of the body is needed in order to do your will and live in it. Well, yes, after all this, we finally realize it's going to take complete, total sacrifice. At first sight, it appears as something trivial. Maybe when you first learned about this, or I did, we thought, oh, this doesn't seem so difficult. You know, just put all my acts in the will of God and look at the incredible effects and blessings and benefits that come from it. Says at first it can seem almost trivial, but then in practice, it seems difficult, you see. Not having one single breath of one's own will, not even in holy things, not even in my prayers, not wanting any special favors or lights or consolation or blessing, even in my prayers of intercession, always surrendering it to God's will. Not having one single breath of one's will, even in holy things or in good itself, having to remain still and content in any suffering, both interior and exterior, this seems to be too grievous and painful for the human nature, as she herself has experienced. Yes, it can seem way beyond what we're able to bear at times. Therefore, the souls, Louisa says, will never be able to arrive at living in your will with the complete sacrifice of everything. Louisa's a realist here. She knows from her own experience, from her own human frailty and weakness, that sometimes, as we hear her say at the beginning of many, many passages, I can't do this anymore. This is enough. Take me. You know, I've had it. This is all I can bear. And then Jesus, of course, always has the answer. Jesus responded, my daughter, everything is in understanding the great good which comes to her by doing my will and by operating and living in it. Everything comes from that understanding. It is this will that wants the sacrifice. And since this will does not adapt itself to mix and to live together with a low, small, and finite will, which would be a human will, it wants to render the acts of the soul who wants to live in my will eternal, infinite, and divine. You know, can we ever appreciate enough this exchange? You know, this holy exchange of gifts. We give our will to God, this human, puny, infinite, weak, sinful will, and he gives us, in return, his eternal, infinite, and divine will. It's like the exchange of the gifts at Mass, you know. We offer God bread and wine. He transforms it into himself. Is there any comparison? Is there any way we can understand this exchange? Of course not. How can it do this? If she wants to place the breath of her human will, even in holy things, as you say. So Jesus is saying, how can this happen if you want your human will to be involved and to interfere? It's always a finite will. And then living in my will would no longer be a reality, but only be a manner of speaking. As some people would like to interpret this and say, oh, this is just a, you know, it's just a kind of a metaphor for the way in which we can be united to God more fully. It is a metaphor, but it's also a reality. It is the greatest reality, the first reality, the most perfect reality God created us to live. On the other hand, Jesus says, the office of my will is total dominion. It's not just a manner of speaking. It's not just a metaphor. You know, it's not just a theory. It's total reigning of God as it reigns perfectly in Mary and makes her queen. It is right that the little atom of the human will be conquered and that it loses the field of action in my will. What would you say if a little lamp, a match, or a spark of fire wanted to enter into the sun to follow its way and to form its field of light and of action in the center of the sun? See, what would you think if this little spark of fire wanted to become part of the sun? If the sun had a reason, it would become indignant. Its light and heat would annihilate that little spark or match. And you would be the first one to mock them, condemning their boldness and wanting to form their own field of action within the light of the sun. Such is the breath of the human will within mind, even in doing the good. So now we could say he also uses this image here, so let's not get confused in the little parable he's trying to give us here. Yes, he does say our little spark of a human will, he wants to be fully immersed in the sun of the divine will. But here he's using it in a negative way, and he's saying, what if this your little light wants to share in the divine light, in the eternal light of God by nature, is basically what he's saying, and that it doesn't want to give up itself and wants itself to have its way even in the midst of this reigning with God. See, this was Adam's problem and Eve. They wanted to, their human will to keep being what it was and to have its way on top of God's will, to do their will instead of God's will. And that's what he's saying here. If you want to keep that kind of life going, that kind of fire going in your own will to have what it wants and do what it wants while trying to live this way, basically he's saying, it's got to change. Something's got to give. So he says, I covered and hid all of you within me so that you may have no eyes, if not to look only at my will, to give it free field of action in your soul. You see, that's why he had her experiences being hidden, immersed, taken up into his will, into his through his humanity. She's taken up into Christ's holy body and soul. And he says, this was so that you wouldn't see anything else. Because if you're immersed in me, you're only going to see what I see, which is the will of the Father. You're only going to want what I want, which is the will of the Father. You're only going to do what I do, which is the will of the Father. So that you're looking at my will alone, my human will perfectly united with the divine will, and you will give it free field of action in your soul. You will let it reign. This is what he's asking for. This is what Mary, our Blessed Mother, Queen of the Divine Will, allowed to happen every moment of her life. It's what St. John Eudes is talking about here in this passage. The reigning of Christ, of his human divine wills together in us. There are two in Christ, but they were always perfectly united. He wants that unity of his two wills to be one and to unite us in ourselves with each other in the church for the glory of God. That's why we're trying. That's what this is all about. Well, we've got a ways to go more in this passage, but I want to stop for a short musical interlude as we celebrate this beautiful memorial of the Queenship of Mary, given to us as a dogma in the church by Pope Pius XII in 1954, just 4 years after the dogma of the Assumption. Why? Because they are tied together. Mary would not be queen of heaven and earth if she had not been assumed body and soul into heaven as having lived on earth perfectly fully in the kingdom of God's will, now reigning in it perfectly fully in heaven as well. Stay with us. We're going to be right back to continue this passage from Volume 17. This is The Will of God in the Life and Writings of Louisa Picaretta. I'm Father Robert Young. We'll be right back. Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the Will of God with Father Robert Young.
Thank you, Frank, and thanks for that lovely selection of a song that fits so well with the theme today of this passage of being hidden, totally immersed in God through Jesus. And through his humanity, of course, that's the only way we can do it. But through that perfect, beautiful humanity of Jesus, we come to also live and reign in the kingdom of God's will, and it comes to reign in us. We celebrate today how that happened perfectly, completely, totally in one person. Pius XII in 1950, when he gave us this beautiful dogma of the Assumption, he said this in his teaching, Munificentissimus Deus, it is to be hoped from the manifestation of the glorious example of Mary, that men may come to realize more and more the value of human life entirely dedicated to fulfill the will of the Heavenly Father and to caring for the welfare of others. After World War II, he said, well, what did that have to do with World War II? Well, he saw the tremendous devastation and evil destruction that the human will caused in the world, and that it was only by doing the will of God and living in that kingdom of God's will that the world could be healed and saved. And so, no accident, it's immediately after the war, he declared Mary, assumed into heaven, this beautiful document. It's to be hoped, he said, from this manifestation of the glorious example of Mary, that humankind may come to realize more and more the value of a human life entirely dedicated to fulfilling the will of God, of the Father. That's Mary. He's referring to Mary is the human life entirely dedicated to fulfilling the will of God. That's why she's assumed into heaven. That's what we celebrate as the feast of the divine will,
Son, we just celebrated a week ago, is the Feast of the Divine Will. Now, a week later, we celebrate the Feast of the Queenship of Mary, which is, we could say, the octave of the Feast of the Solemnity of the Assumption with Mary's Queenship, because it also proclaims Mary as Queen, having been assumed into heaven, having lived perfectly in it, fulfilling the will of God perfectly in her life on earth, now reigning in that will of God in heaven as Queen of the Kingdom. What a beautiful understanding of who our Blessed Mother is given to us in his teaching in Pius XII. Jesus goes on in this explanation to Louisa of this relationship of our learning, our coming to knowledge, our coming to love, our coming to live and possess this great. He says, rather, to Louisa and to us, the difficulty. Louisa's saying, well, do it, you know. And Jesus is saying, he's going to explain to her how it's possible. Rather, the difficult thing will be to comprehend the living in my will, not to sacrifice oneself. Remember, Louisa just said, but who can make this kind of sacrifice? You know, who of us is capable of sacrificing every absolute atom of our being, body, and soul to God? You know, there's always something fallen humanity that wants to keep something for itself. And he says, the difficult thing is not the sacrifice, it's the understanding. It's not so much in the will, it's in the end, because the end has been informed and infused with this knowledge. Then he says, the will is going to act accordingly, we hope. In fact, he says, once the souls have understood the great good which comes to them by living in my divine will, that from poor they will become rich, from slaves of vile passions they will become free and ruling, from servants they will become masters, from unhappy they will become happy, even in the pains of this poor life, and will fall in love with all the goods which are in my will. See, I hope and I pray that we, if we have not yet, we are falling and will fall in love with this, with the will of God, because it is God himself. It is everything. It is the source of everything. So he's saying, once you start to experience this and you see how this knowledge and this understanding changes your life, he says, you can be happy, you can be joyful, you can be grateful, even in the midst, as he says, in the pain of this poor life. They go together, don't they? They went together in the life of Jesus. They went together in the life of Mary. They went together in the life of every single Christian who's been faithful to their calling and is either here on earth or in purgatory or in heaven. It is the same for us all. So he says, you will then fall in love. When you come to know what it is, you will fall in love with it. If you don't know it, you can't fall in love. How are you going to fall in love with somebody you don't know? We hear all the time these crazy stories of people think they've fallen in love with somebody that they don't meet, you know, somebody on the internet or something. It's all an illusion. When they finally meet them, they're totally devastated. Well, you can't love somebody you don't know. You can't love something that's a figment of the imagination. See? So he says, when you fall in love, then the total sacrifice of everything will be an honor for them. It will be an honor to sacrifice it. You will see it as your greatest gift, your greatest joy, your greatest privilege is to sacrifice for the divine will. Granted, we don't get there overnight. We're not all there at once. But gradually, hopefully, this is happening to us. It will be desired, wanted, and longed for. See, that desire is everything. When you long to be reunited with a loved one, you will go through whatever it takes, any pain, suffering, mental, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, to be with that person. He says, this is why I push you so much to manifest what I say to you regarding my will, because everything
will be in understanding it, knowing it, and loving it. See, everything hinges on this understanding. That's why, you know, he's given us the gifts of the Holy Spirit for this reason. He's given us the gifts of the Spirit to know it, to understand it, to comprehend it, to fathom it, and to desire it. Those are all gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, so that by coming to know it, we would long for it and we would love it. Loving is desiring. Loving is wanting the beloved to possess it and to be one with it. So Louisa, you know, like all of us, has got to go through this learning process, and it can be very painful at times. It can be very discouraging and frustrating at times. It's all part of the testing. So, dear friends, don't be discouraged. If you find right now, even if you've been at it for many years or maybe for just a few days, that it seems, you know, still seems like a foreign language, if it still seems very incomprehensible, keep reading, keep praying, keep invoking the Holy Spirit, invoking the intercession of our Blessed Mother, Queen of this kingdom, to help you. I promise you, your prayers will be answered. If we pray with faith, God will answer those prayers. He will give us the graces we need. But we also have to do our part, which is to accept the preparation, accept the being carved out, accept, you know, the void being formed in us, which feels like emptiness and darkness and negative things. We have to allow that process to happen so, as he says, we can have space in us to receive the knowledge. We can allow it to grow deeper, wider, higher, however you want to see it. It can be more complete in us. So Louisa again has her response. My Jesus, if you love so much and want that this will of yours be known, loved, and practiced so that it may have its field of divine action in the soul, please, you yourself, manifest this truth to souls. All of the great good which your will contains and the great good which they will receive from it. See, she's saying, give them a divine infusion of knowledge yourself. She's saying, why does this all have to go through me? You know, remember, he just said to Louisa, this is why I'm pushing you. That's why I've called you. I've given you this mission to make it known. And of course, she's always trying to get out of it, like us sometimes, because it's a difficult mission. It's not an easy one that God has entrusted to Louisa and to us. But he never said it would be easy. He said, I'll be with you, and I will give you great joy in the midst of it. As you continue to learn, you will want and desire it even more. Which says, why can't you infuse this directly into people? Well, he does. You know, God can do that, and he does do that. He did it with me. He's done it with you. He's done it with many others. But the primary means that he's given us for the knowledge is through the Book of Heaven and the other writings of Louisa. That's the way he wants it to be. Yes, it is a private revelation, but private revelation, as the Catechism says, is meant to help us live our faith more fully, and that's exactly what this is doing. It's not adding to it. It's not a new doctrine. As we see, it's perfectly flowing and consistent from the doctrines of the Assumption and the Queenship of Mary. But it is something that we all have to want to receive and open ourselves to receive. It is not a new teaching. It is a way to live more fully in the reign of God's will on earth as in heaven, to fulfill the prayer that Jesus gave us. So she says, infuse the knowledge yourself, give it to them yourself. She says, your direct word contains a magic force, a powerful magnet, the virtue of the creative power. She knows that's true because it's worked with her. She's received it herself. How difficult it is not to surrender to the sweet enchantment of your divine word. That is, when you hear it from the mouth of Jesus, when you feel it flooding your soul with light and peace and consolation and heavenly delights. So therefore, if everything is said directly by you, everyone will surrender. Everybody's going to want this if you reveal it to them. Why do you need me, in other words? And of course, Jesus responds again, "My daughter, this is my usual way. And the order of my eternal wisdom wants it this way. To manifest my greatest works first to one single soul, to concentrate in her all the good which my work contains, dealing with her one-on-one as if no one else existed." He did this with his Blessed Mother. He did it with the church. He did it with the apostles. He did it with many of the saints who were called to a great mission to begin something in the church. He's done it with many popes. He reveals one-to-one, as he did with Pope Pius XII, who had the holiness and the clarity and the receptivity to God's word to declare these dogmas in the church. He says, "When I've done everything in such a way as to be able to say that I've accomplished my work completely within her, within that one person or him, so much so that nothing must be lacking to them, then I make it flow as from a vast sea for the good of all the other creatures. Once it's been formed in you," in Luisa, and the same in a sense for us. Luisa has a role we don't have. It's a very special one in vocation. But each one of us has one also. We each have a mission in this way of life and in making it known. He says, "Once it's been formed in you and in others, so much so that nothing is lacking." You know, nothing is lacking to your capacity, in your own, according to your capacity. Yes, it's not perfect, but it's according to your capacity. As God created you, as he's forming you, as he's expanding your capacity. He says, "Then I make it flow as from a vast sea for the good of all the other creatures." As from a vast sea flowing from this, you know, this river flowing down the city streets of heaven, flowing now upon earth, the kingdom of God's will, through the souls of those who are living it here. You see, we are essential. Maybe not one individual is essential, but souls living in the divine will are essential for this kingdom to come again, to reign more and more fully on earth, only perfectly when Jesus returns, but until then, more and more fully and completely. He says, "Then I make it flow as a vast sea, as a vast river flooding the earth, reaching out to all the other souls, past, present, and future, so that this river of God's divine will can now fill everyone. This is what I did with my heavenly mama." This is why she's queen. "First, I dealt with her in the most divine intimacy about the work of redemption. No other creature knew anything about it. It was all first deposited in Mary. She disposed herself to make all sacrifices, to all the necessary preparations in order to make me descend from heaven to earth." See, she did all that without knowing she was the one. Isn't that amazing? You see, God gave her the gift of knowledge enough to make her do the preparation, and yet in her humility, not to know until the Annunciation that she was the one through which it would all come about. It says, "I did everything as if she were the only one redeemed." As if she were the only one redeemed. He poured it all into her, even before his own life, death, and resurrection would happen. "But after she delivered me to the light with her virginal labor, in such a way that everyone could see me and take the goods of redemption, I gave myself to all, provided that they wanted to receive me." Once she brought Jesus to light and to birth in the world, once he's now present to the world, he says, because Mary, it overflowed from the gift given to Mary through the Immaculate Conception and through every moment of her life, it now, you know, comes out into light, into the world, so that everyone can receive him. Everyone who wants to can know, love, and possess Jesus. It says, "The same will happen with my will. Once I've completed everything within you in such a way that my will triumphs in you and you in it, then like an immense overflowing sea, it will flow for the good of all. You know, like a tsunami, a wave just covering humanity, covering the face of the earth. And trust me, it is happening. It doesn't feel like a tsunami because it seems to happen slowly, one by one, little groups here and there, more and more individuals coming to know, love, and possess it through others who are sharing it in their groups or in talks or whatever, through this radio, whatever God wants to use to do it. He's saying it's like an immense overflowing sea. It will flow for the good of all. But he says this will happen, Louisa, after your death, after it's been brought to its completion as perfect as possible in you. In many ways, it will be that way for us. Yes, we can do good. We can make it known on earth. But he's saying there's a certain way in which it's the coming to completion of our lives in the divine will that's going to release all of these blessings, the fruits, the benefits for all. The graces will flow like a tsunami across the face of the earth. But it is necessary to form the first soul in order to have the second. It is necessary to form the first soul, that's you, Louisa, in order to then have the second. It would be those who first came to know about it around her, and then the third and fourth, and now it's thousands upon thousands across the earth who are coming to know about it because Louisa was given the mission, she accepted that mission, and she carried it out to the best of her ability. Yes, sometimes lamenting and complaining and doubting and fearful like all of us, but God brought the work to completion in her. May God, dear friends, bring his work in each one of us to completion. May we not stop it, the flow of this great wave of the sea of God's will. May we not, you know, hinder the light of the sun of his will from coming to reach more people on earth through us and through our acts. But trusting that even though we don't see it and we don't feel it or experience the effects, it is happening and it will be brought to completion, and the real effects will only be known when we die at the end of our lives, as it happened with Louisa. And that, in fact, is the title of the next passage, which we will leave for next time. But just to give you the title, to give you something to look forward to, just as the works of our Lord had their complete fruit after his death, so it will be for the soul who lives in his will. It's true of Jesus, true of Mary, and true of us. Dear friends, may Almighty God bless you and keep you, and may our Blessed Mother in a special way on this memorial of her queenship help you and bless you and intercede for you. May she reach her hands, loving hands to you to lift you up more and more into the kingdom of God's will. And may you and I live always in that kingdom, bringing others into it more and more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless. Happy feast.
Thank you for tuning in for The Will of God with Father Robert Young. Be sure to tune in again next week for another episode.